Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Merry Christmas. Can't say that anymore. Can't say that anymore.
You can say it, right?
No. No, you have to say hail to the Jews.
Oh.
Can't
say. Oh, man.
The woke mob has taken it from us.
Oh, hail to the Jews.
It's, yeah, they're making us say it.
Hanukkah's right now. It started a couple days ago. Happy Hanukkah, yeah. Jews.
Rudolph, the average size nosed reindeer. Nothing to see here. They're woke washing everything. It's ridiculous.
Oh, jeez. What's going on, Hambone?
Oh, I formally apologize to you. Every week I abuse our start time. Every week, I'm like, how about noon? And you're like, all right, noon. And then I'm like, I can't make noon. I always think I'm going to get more done in the morning than I ever will.
Yeah. The amusing part is always I allow you to pick the time. Now, if I had to go at noon and you're like, okay. But it's always like, we'll just pick a later time.
I am sorry about this. That's I am chronically late. It's disrespectful. I think it usually if it's like, oh, we have to do it at this time, I'm good for that.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, I got up at like 9, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, that's plenty of time to get up, eat something, go to the gym, and then record at noon. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I got to the gym at like 10 to noon. I'm like, I'm guessing I'm not going to get my workout done.
What'd you get into over at the gym today?
I did the fake stairs.
Okay.
I climbed up real stairs to my gym to get on some fake stairs.
There you go.
And then foolish, yeah, but whatever. And then I did some pushies, some downies. Some tries. Tries and buys.
Oh, I thought you meant like tries as in attempts. Not triceps. Oh,
that also. No, that.
I'm going to try some tries.
I tried some tries.
Mm-hmm.
Tried some buys.
There you go.
Yeah, not a lot. Mostly just for the steam room. Mostly for sweating it out.
Yeah? Guilty? Dave, did you feel guilty, like, dietarily? You paid some dues today? What happened?
I went to some Matt's Barbecue yesterday, as Rachel sent you a picture of me holding a dinosaur rib.
That was nice. That was made my heart swell, buddy. Of course,
I don't think that's what did it.
Yeah,
but
it's my own
rib. Yeah, it's okay. Uh-huh. We both knew what the punchline was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were both racing to the punchline. We both knew was right, staring us in the face.
You've enlarged my heart and clogged it a little bit. Yeah,
Dave's special barbecue Valentine's cards.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you make me sweat. Or maybe it's my blood pressure. That's weird. Now, the other way, I was going for like a regular checkup because, like, well, I have insurance. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I better go to the doctor and get checkups. And I was like, oh, my heart was racing one day. I was just hanging out at the house, and my heart rate, you know, I got like the little Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. My heart rate was like 120 or something.
Is that not good?
No, it's not.
What's a good heart rate?
I'm looking it up. I think it's below 100.
Okay.
Heart rate from average heart rate by age. Let's see. Normal heart rate by age, according to Forbes.
What do they know? Stay in your lane, Forbes.
Well, this is just children 10 years and older and adults, including seniors, 60 to 100.
Okay. That's a pretty big range. Like, yeah, so this thing and or almost double this thing.
Well, but you got to think it's like the like it's between like absolute like asleep and maybe moving around, taking a walk.
You know? Yeah.
That says resting heart rate is what it says. Normal resting heart rate. Anyway, I go to the doctor. I'm like, yeah, my heart was racing. Not for long, but it was kind of a wild thing. And she's like, well, what happened that day? I was like, I didn't even do anything. Like, I got up. I didn't eat. I just had coffee all day. Then I think I had some leftover pizza, and then I had some weed gummies. And then as I'm talking, I'm like, of course my heart was racing. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to tell you any of this shit. I know why it was racing. That wasn't shouldn't have been a surprise. Hmm. So I just, as we're sitting here day drinking for the holiday episode of the Boogie Monster.
You know, like when people...
Beer's good after a workout, right?
Oh, beer is good carbs? After a workout? Oh, okay.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't think so, but... Yeah, I still don't understand the whole macro micro carb to protein ratio. I either eat like shit or I did okay. Those are my two categories.
Well, all those Michelob Ultra ads made it look like it was like better than Gatorade. The One Nut, the bicyclist was promoting it, right?
Name? Lance Armstrong? No, wait.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, Lance Armstrong was just like, wasn't he just, somebody was like, it was like athletes, like, yeah. Oh, man, great beer after working out. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I'd rather have a Gatorade than a Michelob Ultra. That's,
yeah.
It's not good.
Gatorade Beam. Mm-hmm. Beam and Gatorade. What would you mix with Gatorade?
Oh, I'd do a little tequila Gatorade. That sounds okay. What vodka?
I think that was a... A dad boner thing was Gator Pain.
Gator Pain.
Champagne and Gatorade.
That doesn't sound awful.
No, it doesn't. A little bubbly. Mm-hmm. You know?
So tell me about this barbecue, buddy. Matt's
okay,
barbecue
so
in Portland.
As I think I spoke of it before, mm-hmm. that we went to the Thai place and found out that the brisket that was in the white curry was from this place, Matt's Barbecue.
Nice.
So we went over there yesterday. I had to order the brisket burnt ends and the beef rib ahead. I ordered ahead of time.
Okay.
Because it's just a food cart.
Okay.
It's not even like a brick and mortar. It's a food cart.
Ah, okay.
And very nice. I believe it was Matt. I'm not sure if it's Matt that I met there, but like I ordered it. Like, oh, Kyle Kinane. I'm like, hey, how's it going, guys? I'm like, I'm breaking my vegetarianism for this stuff. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's my birthday this week. And they'd throw in some other kind of burnt end stuff in there. I think pork belly burnt ends they threw in.
Oh, yeah.
So I had brisket, chopped brisket. I had pork belly burnt ends.
Chopped brisket, They didn't slice it?
They did both. I picked chopped.
Okay. I go with that, slice. And you gotta tell them fatty. You want that fatty or that marbled. Because as much as I love brisket, lean brisket, it just bores the shit out of me.
It was fatty. Okay. There was fat in there. Mm-hmm. We got that. We got the big beef rib. Big
okay.
boy.
Okay.
Me eating off that. That's like a revenant bear. I've been eating off that for a while.
By the pound on that market price?
Yeah, yeah.
About 35 bucks a pound?
I think they got me about, I don't know. I think I paid 35 for one.
Okay. I feel like you're you're like a teenager buying a new car. I just want to make sure you're not getting taken advantage of.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. Uh-huh. I think if anybody knew if they were ripping people off, they wouldn't be as popular.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was. I didn't know what to order. And then on the way there, I was telling Rachel, I'm like, I want chicken wings. Not from there. They don't have chicken. I'm like, just now that I'm going to have barbecue. Like, I want. I told her I was like a priest who won a trip to Thailand. I'm like, oh, I'm just if I'm gonna sin, I'm gonna sin all the sins. Well, nobody's looking, you know. This is my get out of hell free card for the day. Mm-hmm. Let me have it.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got some pulled pork.
Okay.
And a jalapeno cheddar sausage and a regular sausage.
There you go.
We got a lot.
You got the
still.
Whole
I'm still going
spread.
Through leftovers over here. Yeah.
Okay. Any sides? What kind of sides you go with? Or did you just go straight
I wasn't
meat?
Trying to fuck around with sides. Okay. Rachel's brother was there. They had like mac and cheese that I tasted. It was really good. Mm-hmm. The sides look really good, but I'm like, I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Fill up on sides. You
yeah,
know?
The sides have got to be extraordinary for me to get them. Like,
yeah.
If I was normally
eating stuff, eating barbecue, then yeah, sure. But like, no, I'm here for this.
Yeah, you got no.
But knowing that the sides are good, yeah. If somebody else wants to go, I'd be like, fine, I can live off these sides.
You got no time for foreplay.
No, that's it. Reminds me of The Simpsons where like Homer was in a steak eating contest or something, and all of a sudden like Marge is like, "No, don't fill up on bread." And he's like, "Oh, oh." He's like, has to eat this like however large of a steak, and he's starting to eat the bread. It's like, God damn, classic. Well, like, oh,
what was the highlight of the meal?
I'll be honest, I like the sausages.
Okay, yeah, I've really started to get into sausage.
Dave, you know, like I'd go to Blood Cells with you. You've recently started getting the sausage. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But we'd go to Blood Cells. Like, I'll eat barbecue and I'll admit it's good, but then I don't need it for another year. Everything that came out of my body yesterday smelled like barbecue. I peed this morning. It smelled like barbecue.
Oh, man, that's hardcore.
Yeah, that's not like it shouldn't take your whole system.
Yeah. Maybe I don't even
to process to. Yeah, to process one meal, you know? But I still like, you know, Italian sausage. I like all the sausage. I like Knackwurst. What's the lighter colored German one? Is that Knackwurst?
I get them all confused. Bratwurst, Knackwurst. Very
finely ground. I mean, I'm even a liverwurst guy. I like the weird mushy shit.
Yeah, as much as I love all that, the barbecue, so the smoked sausage, just it's a whole nother level when you get
good,
homemade smoked sausage. Mm.
Oh, so that was the highlight. I still got that chopped brisket. I'm gonna chop that up and make a sandwich. I brought some of the sauces home.
Okay.
I'm gonna have that for lunch. Yeah, Matt's barbecue. Great job. I mean, you're gonna have to take my word for it. I don't have a power ranking at all, but they are very well known in the city here.
Okay, what kind of wood do they use?
Order ahead. I think is the smart. You know what, Dave? I didn't ask.
Okay, that's fine.
That's on me.
I'll call him.
I should. You could just tell him. Hey, listen, you gave my buddy Kyle a meal, and he was supposed to ask some questions.
Yeah.
Same thing with the used car. Listen, you sold my son a car. He didn't even test drive it.
Yeah.
Let's find out about it. I'm going to see what they say here. It's Texas style.
Okay. Probably post oak.
Let's see if they tell you.
White oak, maybe.
Well, it says meats are cooked for the day on an offset smoker using oak wood. They just say okay. Oak wood.
Oak wood. All right. Right on. Right on, man. Well, that's exciting.
Don't be surprised if you can't get burned. Yeah, I did it. It felt good. I think the algorithm is like disappointed in me because then right that like one of the I follow a lot of like vegetarian and vegan places. For in Portland on Instagram just to like to remind me that these places are out there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, normally I just go. There's always something for me to eat no matter where we go out to eat, you know. But I'm like, oh, I should try this place. And one of them was like, congratulations to our owner for being 5 years vegan. It just pictures of her like hugging different animals. I'm like, oh, man, you kind of hit me with this on today. Today you got to get at me with this one.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like the animals too. Don't get me wrong. These animals tasted like they were cared about.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you can tell a difference from like grass-fed beef and, you know, organic, free-range, all that stuff. I mean, I used to think it was just a marketing thing, but you can definitely tell the difference. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I always wondered, like, the grass-fed, like, what do I give a shit what this thing ate? I'm eating it.
Yeah. Well, it just
I'm gonna taste what it's eating? Weird. That scares me away from the whole operation. Spit in my mouth. Spit in my mouth, open pit barbecue.
That sounds like a fun place.
Doable? All right. I don't know.
Speaking of the brisket and the white curry, I did a little Thai barbecue fusion the other day. Okay. Got Katie and I ordered some Tom Yum soup, some shrimp Tom Yum soup from a Thai place.
Oh, yeah. Said, was it a hot and sour?
Yeah, kind of a hot and sour thing. And they had a special. It was buy one, get one free, which you don't see that much with hot soups. You don't see much BOGO. It's like, all right, you got me. So we got a double order. And it was good, but it was real, it was just too light. Like the broth was clear and light and, you know, almost, what do they call it, healthy?
Soup.
And it was a little bit of a turnoff, you know? It's a little not substantial enough for me. So we enjoyed the first serving. But the next night, I doctored it up a little. So we got this shrimp Tom Yum soup with all the nice Thai flavors. You got the basil and the coconut curry cream, just whatever, all those nice, vibrant Thai flavors. So I made a roux. I made a quick little roux out of canola oil and flour. Just went like 30 minutes. Didn't go the dark chocolate, you know, that takes me over an hour. It just went kind of like a caramel color. Then threw all the soup in there. And then they had so many of these little mushrooms, like the whole mushrooms, but they're really tiny. Like the cute little ones that people draw and, you know, you see on some folk art or something.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
But there was just so many. I scooped most of those out and I pureed them and I put them back in to give it. So with the roux and the pureed mushroom, kind of thickened it up, took it from a soup to a stew. And then here's the kicker. A couple nights before, I had some Bludsoe smoked chicken. So we had some some leftover smoked chicken laying around. So I kind of did a little rough chop / pull on the smoked chicken, threw that in there. So we got all these Thai flavors mixed with like the toasty roux, mixed with the earthy mushroom puree, and then you add in the deep smoky flavor of the smoked chicken. Boy, howdy. This is one of the best soup / stews I've ever tasted.
You made like a chicken chowder.
Yeah, made like a Thai chicken, like a smoky Thai chicken chowder. It was phenomenal.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
I'm sad you didn't like a nice light Tom Yum's soup, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was fine, but I just felt that it could do more. So let me.
Do you ever want a lighter meal, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I crave salad sometimes. I like a good salad. A good salmon Caesar. I love a good salmon Caesar salad, you know.
Salmon Caesar.
Yeah, I love a good salmon Caesar. That's a good time.
Sammy Caesar, saw him in Vegas, 63. It's great.
But yeah, and as we speak, I got me a nice big old pot of red beans on the stove simmering. Started those bastards about 8 o'clock this morning. Got the ham hocks in there, got the beans, got the Trinity, got the...
What's the New Year's Eve meal, the good luck meal? Is that red beans?
Yeah, no, what is it? Black-eyed peas. Supposed to eat collard greens or some sort of green. I don't know if it's turnip or collard specifically, but greens, black-eyed peas, and some sort of pork. And you would think I'd be all over that, but I rarely go for the New Year's meal.
Really?
Yeah.
I had it. I spent a New Year's in... I was in New Orleans once more at Sean Patton's family. And his family, they're caterers. That's what his family business is. So they know food down there. We had that, like, traditional New Year's Day meal.
Okay.
Ooh.
I might have to get into that this year. I think I was turned off one year. I mean, black-eyed peas are fine, but I'm never sitting around like, I need some black-eyed peas, you know? I'd rather do butter beans or lima beans or red beans and rice. But I think one year I was with somebody, and they made a pork loin, which I don't even know why that fucking exists. Like, ugh.
Pork loin?
Pork loin. It's so lean. The way they butcher the pork loin, there's no fat on it. It's just lean and dry and flavorless, and it's always just been a turn-off.
I believe I've had it done well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I just don't understand.
Again, I've never gotten deep into food.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that's a question I was thinking about this week, and so this is going to stray.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit like Dave, for as much like you love food so much,
mm-hmm.
you basically you taught yourself how to cook all this stuff. But you never did that with music.
That's a great point. Well, I tried. I did try. When I was in high school, I took guitar lessons and I took drum lessons, both from friends. And I just, you know, after several months, I just came to the realization, like, I just don't have any natural ability towards this. I have no...
That hasn't stopped me, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, you know, I mean, I've said this before, and I'm not going to have kids, but if I ever did, my hypothetical kids, I wish I would have been pushed into the arts as much as I was pushed into athletics. And I enjoy, you know, sports taught me a lot, teaches you certain, you know, principles about life, but I never had, and my parents, my dad was really into music, and later taught himself to play guitar, but yeah, there was never any... You know, hey, you want to learn to play guitar? You want to do this? You want to do that? It was always like, what sport do you want to play this year? It was never, which instrument are you interested in? And I wish I'd have spent a little more time growing up involved in music and not so much in sports. Because like I said, sports taught me a lot, but what am I? I'm not really utilizing any of that, you know? Unless you go on to play college.
Yeah, but you used to like working out and having a physical ability to move about the world.
Yeah, that's true.
You still want to be a strong boy.
Mm-hmm.
I could see you whiplashing your kid over like a pot of chili. Like making him stir until his hands bleed.
Mr. Biagi.
Again!
You stir counterclockwise.
Yeah, really that movie Whiplash is just like a musical... harsher version of Karate Kid.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I was wondering because you're like such a like avid music fan. I was like, I wonder if Dave ever. You got the time now to get a guitar and start plinking at it. You got that great record room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and coincidentally, like I did get involved in almost every other aspect of music, in that I was in radio. Yeah. I was tour managing, you know, so I did. I knew I wanted, especially early, you know, in my 20s, I knew I wanted to be around music. It's like, well, if I can't write or perform music, let me play it on the radio or let me be around the live music environment, you know, with touring and stuff like that. So, but yeah, just very frustrated. Like, and that's weird too. Like, as an athlete, like, my whole childhood, all through my teenage years, like I was good at most sports that I attempted. You know, I was talked about I was good at soccer, I was good at football, I was good at baseball. Mm-hmm. So it was so frustrating to like have something physical, you know, tactile, like drums or guitar, that's like, ow, what the fuck? I'm good at other things. I can hit a baseball, I can shoot a basketball. Why can't I fucking play a guitar? It was just didn't have the comprehension.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that stuff. Like you saying, like being around music, though, to go back to that. I remember that was something that I did not realize. And then early on, somebody pointed out, I don't know if I read it in a zine or something, about just like all the all ages shows I would go to and, you know, pre-internet stuff. But like, let's not like, yeah, we're all sitting here. We're all about these bands, but let's not overlook. Why did you get to see bands for $5 this weekend? It's because somebody went to the VFW hall in their town and organized this?
Yeah.
How did you find out about it? Somebody went to designed a flyer and went to Kinko's and then put it at the record stores and drove around everywhere putting flyers out. Somebody rented the PA to get it set up and paid a sound guy to do that. Like, how many parts are just as integral?
Oh,
and
for
sure. Because I was thinking about that, yeah, in terms of comedy, too, where... Like, you know, there's still so many, like, I'll still champion all the independent comedy shows. And I mean, I did one last week at Mississippi Pizza here, and it was awesome. It was just a great time, and it's a super small venue, and it's, you know, maybe a little easier to get the word out with the internet, but they still, that, you know, sound guy, contact people to put it on, get it's and showing up and being. And telling other people, like, hey, this is a fun thing to do every week. Like, word of mouth. I'm sounding like the MC closing out a show right now. But, like, don't forget, word of mouth is our greatest promote. But, like, it really is. Like, hey, you want to come see a free thing if you're bored, like, oh God, it means so much.
Yeah. I mean, I owe my whole career to word of mouth, you know, the whole DIY thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have an agent. I don't have a manager. I don't play very many clubs. Like, if I'm touring, it's because I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew a venue, and multiple people got involved and made it happen, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, that's why, yeah, because we went to a Christmas party Friday night. It was one of Rachel's friends that she met in a class she was taking here. And I immediately felt old as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think everybody there was maybe late 20s, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is wild. And they were all, I didn't see anybody look at their phone once.
Really?
And everybody was about, like, they were musicians. One gal retired and was like, no, I make jewelry. Like, everybody was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Was just making things.
That's awesome.
And it was, yeah, it felt, instead of being like, oh, these young hipsters doing, like, I was like excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everybody was taking pictures. They all had film cameras. I'm like, all right, now that's just making it difficult. But
really?
part of me realized that because, like, oh, having grown up with that stuff and the ease of, like, using your phone to take a picture, like, oh, it was nice to be around, like, a group of people that were just like, nah, I'm sure they all have phones in their pockets for things, but everybody was just, like, fun and all musicians, artists, filmmakers. I'm like, this is cool, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like being around that atmosphere. I've said this before, but, like, before I started comedy, my ex-girlfriend and the circle of friends that I ran with, I wouldn't have considered us, like, classic hipsters, but we were definitely, you know, music snobs and stuff like that. And back then, we judged people's worth on what they were into. Like, hey, what bands do you like? What movies do you like? Where now that, and I'm hesitant to call myself an artist, but now that I'm a performer, I judge people like, hey, what do you do? What do you create? Not that you have to be an artist or create stuff to have worth, but rather than just, oh, this guy's cool because he likes cool bands, I'm more impressed with this guy or this gal over here because they do this or they do that or they perform this. Like, to me, that's much more impressive than just, you know, oh, this guy has decent taste in music or movies. Like, okay, good for you, but that's not very hard to pull off.
First off, I do not want to lose everybody's chance to view Dave as a hipster. Let's go. We're thinking 2002.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't a hipster, but I had a little bit of that mentality.
Donning of skinny jeans. Dave, skinny jeans.
No, never.
Horn-rimmed glasses. maybe a vest. No. Maybe a vest buttoned over like a...
No.
Oh, man. Dave just going on about the movie Garden State. God, let's not lose that. But there really was this. Everybody was. It was all about curating your own, like, the museum of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, isn't my place cool? Don't I look cool? But there wasn't a lot of output.
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
What do you do? Why? Well, it was just everybody's taste. It's like, oh, they're cool.
Yeah.
Why are they cool? They have good taste. Well, all right, that's fine. I mean, and it lasted for what it lasted, you know.
Mm-hmm. But granted, now,
not everybody can be an artist, you know. That is,
yeah. But now I still have a little bit of that, as far as, like, you know, I am very discriminating with what music I listen to and all that. But now it's less of look at how cool I am or what great taste I have. And now it's more, especially that I have a couple of platforms, it's like, no, I want you to know about this cool band or this great movie or whatever. Like, I'm more concerned with sharing that than just patting myself on the back for being in that small niche fan group that's into this band or this director.
Yeah, it was really self-destructive to, like, hoard good taste. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this band's cool. I hope they don't blow up. But, like, that was the whole thing about the concept of selling out even back in the punk rock days. I'm like, oh, you want this band to struggle because that makes it more special to you?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, people's attitudes, you know, some ethos can change if they get bigger. But I don't know why. Like, I always had to try and do the thing that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I am surrounded by failed attempts at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad about it.
But no, at least you're trying, you know, tried or currently trying. There's definitely something to be said for that.
I was learning the guitar solo to Talk Dirty to Me by Poison just yesterday.
How's it coming along?
I heard it on the radio and I was like, oh, this is definitely one of the easier CC DeVille solos.
Uh-huh.
So I could start with this one and feel good about myself. So, yeah, that's not too tough.
Well, good for you, man.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking about. Like, oh, I wonder if Dave like secretly wants to like play music. Or
no, and I do. Like, if the day we move into an actual house, I'm getting a drum kit. No doubt about it. I'd have a drum kit right now if I didn't live in an apartment. That's something
we've been shopping. Well, I've been shopping.
Oh, for drum kits, really?
For houses.
Oh, for houses, even better. Right on.
We went after Matt's barbecue, and it was an owner occupied, so we had like an hour where the owner was out of the house.
Okay. Did you like it?
I lit up that shitter so bad. I thought I was going to have to buy it. I wrapped the car around the tree on the test drive kind of thing. It was bad.
You break it, you buy it.
I was like, oh, well, let's see if this plumbing was permitted. Because we dropped one on the top floor.
There you go.
So this thing's going to rattle the pipes all the way out to the street level sewer.
Oh, when that, I can't imagine. I've lived in apartments and or vehicles for 20 years. I can't imagine moving into an actual home with a little privacy and some elbow room.
It's, yeah, I mean, we're in a house now, but, you know, it's a tiny house. We're here. But I'm like now looking for my, like I'm looking at the terms like, if like, well, this is where the kids would play one day. I'm like, drum set over there, bar over there, amps here, giant TV for video games over there. Like, that's how I'm looking at these places.
All right. Our next partner has a product I use literally almost every day. I'm talking about Athletic Greens. Been taking this for what, over a year now? As you know, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down with the weight, with the fitness. Doing okay right now. Let's put it this way. I'd be doing a lot worse if it wasn't for Athletic Greens. Last run all through Texas, New Mexico, Colorado. So many great different foods and cuisines to enjoy. Yes, I did do some damage in Texas with the barbecue and then with the green chili, but I was selective. I wasn't going nuts every day. Like, I knew that I had some good meals coming up. Leading up to those meals, I was all about the Athletic Greens. I bring it with me on the road. I've got it in two different forms. I've got the big canister full of powder. Then I've got the little travel packs. They're perfect. Throw them in the luggage. They're always there. No excuse not to at least get some good stuff in your system every day. What's in this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, anti-aging, all that stuff. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, only barbecue, whatever your diet is, this will adhere to any restrictions that you may have. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Supports better sleep quality. I have noticed for sure I've been sleeping better ever since I started taking this stuff. Supports mental clarity and alertness. That's something I always need. It costs less than $3 a day. That might sound like a lot. It adds up, whatnot. Think of what you spend on coffee or booze or cigarettes or Taco Bell. $3 a day to know that you're getting some high-quality nutrition Not a hard decision to make. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. Shake it up. No blenders, no mixers. Just shake it up. Dissolves pretty quickly. Tastes pretty good. Kind of a light tropical flavor. That's it. No need for a million different supplements or pills to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. So how about that? You make a purchase, boom, a year's worth of vitamin D, five free travel packs. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, athleticgreens.com/boogie. All right, with all the bad news about inflation and prices and the economy and the state of the world that we're in right now, it's nice to know that Adam and Eve is still offering the best deal. At adamandeve.com, get 50% off. Charlie's excited. 50% off plus free shipping. That's 50% off an adventurous new toy, slippery lube, almost anything that your heart or your butt or your genitals could desire. Boogie Monster listeners are going to get 50% off almost any one item. I mean, there's a few big ticket things that involve crates and pulleys and stuff that maybe they don't have that on the 50% off. But almost any item, you're going to get 50% off. Just use code BOOGIE at checkout, and there you go, 50% off. But that's not all. You're also going to get 3 bonus sexy items and 6 movies for free. Maybe some Christmas movies. They're adult Christmas movies? That could be fun. All right, just let your imagination wander there. Again, free shipping with all those movies. Doesn't matter what you choose. All will be packaged and sent discreetly, absolutely free. Not only will you save money on gas, movies, date night, dinners out, but this is the item that will continue to save you money year-round. Like I've always said, you know, some of this stuff, a good toy, a good adult toy, a lot like a cast iron skillet. You know, you take care of it. You wash it, you dry it, you don't use any harsh detergents or chemicals. It will last longer than, put it this way, it'll last longer than your libido, unfortunately. Go to adamandeve.com, select any one item, use code BOOGIE, that's B-O-O-G-I-E, in that order. Exclusive offer for Boogie Monster listeners, so be sure to support this podcast and support, you know, your healthy drive, if you will, by using promo code BOOGIE to get 50% off, but also 100% free shipping. Code BOOGIE. Go to adamandeve.com right now. Promo code BOOGIE. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Dragon Ball Legends, the ultimate Dragon Ball experience on your mobile device. Dragon Ball Legends features action-packed anime action RPG gameplay with Goku, Vegeta, Trunks, and all your favorite Dragon Ball characters. Summon your favorite characters from popular Dragon Ball anime series, such as Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball GT to Dragon Ball Super. Fight in real time against friendly or rival Dragon Ball players from across the globe in live PvP battles. Enter ratings matches with your favorite Dragon Ball characters and earn rating points and rewards. Unite with friends to defeat powerful foes in co-op. Dragon Ball Legends features the best anime fighting scenes on your mobile device. And now, Legends Festival is on, so you can get up to 300 free summon tickets. Are you ready? Download Dragon Ball Legends today. Available for free on both iOS and Android devices.
This place have some land? How many acres?
No, not a lot of land.
Yeah.
It's in the city. It's still in the city. Mm-hmm. I still want to be able to walk to a... I don't want to be a booze bag, but I would like the option of being like, I loved living across from the Red Line. I loved getting home from being on the road and then Sunday being like, you know what? I'm going to go across the street. I want to be a townie.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and have my couple drinks. I know the bartenders. I'm going to listen to people on their dates and everything. I'm going to be home by 10:30. I still want that.
Which one would you prefer, the downstairs bar or upstairs bar?
My move. So for people that don't know, I believe we've spoken of it. Red Lion is a bar. It's on Glendale Boulevard. Hopefully it's still there. I don't know what the scene in L.A. is like these days. It's got upstairs outdoor area. So everybody likes to go up there because you can still smoke and it's outside. downstairs is a little moody. It's like a German pub named after an English, whatever.
And it looks
they got
authentic,
a piano
like,
player.
Looks like it's been there for 50 years. It doesn't look like something.
Well, it has been. Yeah. It has been. It's been there forever. They got all the old pictures on the walls. It's an old, one of the few old bars left in Los Angeles. And they got a piano player always playing goofy tunes downstairs. I would go downstairs. The upstairs would close at 9:30, maybe 10, mm-hmm. because of noise ordinance. Then they'd all crowd downstairs. I'd already have a seat. And then I'd watch all the drunk people move from upstairs to downstairs, mm-hmm. mix and mingle and singing karaoke. And I just like that spot.
Yes.
But I would like that. I just, not a crazy place, just a spot where you could go, eavesdrop, you know, be a townie for a little bit at night, walk home. Mm-hmm. I still want that. Portland has a lot of those places, and I like that.
Yeah, there's definitely some appeal to just being able to walk to a cool spot. As opposed to
you walking anywhere, Dave? Are you walking to maybe the Comedy Store yet, Dave?
Yeah. I've been over there a few times. I'm trying to hang out. I'm not a good hang if I'm not on the show.
You're a good hang, Dave.
No, I get antsy.
I hang out with you every week. We've been doing it for years.
I hate just hanging out at comedy shows that I'm not on, but I know that that's definitely part of it, especially since I'm so close. But yeah, I go over there every now and then.
I like it. I like watching the other comics, good or bad, because then it's like it either makes me go like, fuck, that's somebody that's half my age and they're mm-hmm. this good. Mm-hmm. I got to bust my ass. Or it's like somebody's that shitty and they're getting this attention. I should be getting that attention. I got to bust my ass. Like it only serves to motivate me going to be around comedy.
No, and it does. As much as I don't like it, if I'm being honest, it the same thing happens to me. Like I'm either inspired by somebody who's really good, or if I just see some fucking poser, I'm like, all right, maybe he'll follow me next time. You know, follow mm-hmm. that asshole. You know, kind of gets those competitive juices flowing. But yeah, I'm becoming quite a fixture in the neighborhood around here. I'm wandering all over. It's cool because where I'm at, I don't want to give my exact location, but I've got multiple neighborhoods within just a couple of blocks. So I could go north and go that way, or I could go south down that way. Being a little cryptic there, but
do you mean directions?
But there's
you have directions, what you have.
There's so many different little pockets that I'm close to, you know, it's pretty cool. So I like that, as opposed to even in LA, like when I lived at my other spot, you've been over to my other spot years ago in East Hollywood, there was really nothing worth walking to around there. It was like, oh, I can walk to this linoleum superstore. Or I can walk to this Mexican grocery. That's about all I have. But here I've got a lot of options.
You could always, there's like always maybe one like Mexican bar that you could go to. And it's like, they're either cool with you being there, but then that means that that bar is going to be overrun
mm-hmm.
by white folks and destroyed. Or they're not going to be cool with you being there.
Yeah.
And it would be dangerous for you to go.
What was that theater downtown L.A. that used to have a show Big Money? Not Big Money, but what was Dave Ross's show years ago? It was a little movie theater.
Holy fuck.
Like two doors down from that little theater was this really cool, like old school, gnarly Mexican bar where they only had like canned Tecate, and then you could buy.
Was it Five Star? Five Star was up the street a little bit.
I feel like, I don't know. This was like two or three doors down from that theater.
Yeah.
But they had, you could get, basically the only beer they had was Tecate in a can, and then for food, you could purchase a cup of soup, a cup of noodle, and they'd microwave it for you right there. But that place kind of felt like that. Like they were like, okay, we appreciate your business, but don't tell too many of your friends. We don't want this place
that
being gentrified.
That was how the punk rock thing always ate itself, because the punk rock kids would find some place, some like divey spot in a sketchy neighborhood and convince them to put on punk shows. And then, you know, that place would appreciate the business, but then, okay, more and more of these little white punk kids would come into this like old Mexican gay bar or what it might be.
Yeah.
But then, okay, you made it safe for other people. you did this. You can't get mad. Like, mm-hmm. you're the one, like, it eats itself.
Yeah.
You move into a neighborhood because you can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You move into, like, a Latino neighborhood because you can afford it. You're white artists willing to live five people in a two-bedroom or whatever, pack people in. Then, okay, other people like, wow, there's cool stuff going on here because these artists live here. I want to live here too. I will pay a little bit more for rent than somebody else would be willing to.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. You've just pushed the snowball off the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Get ready for a Whole Foods in 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's like when white people are angry about gentrification, it's like, you did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel like white people are allowed to complain about gentrification.
But it's not that they're not. Everybody's allowed to complain about everything if they want to. But it's just that let's not look at the root causes.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, that it's white people made it too expensive for white just artists to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the art. It's people just trying to make art for a living are also pushed into these impoverished areas. But you made it cool. Stop doing cool stuff, artists.
Yeah, knock it off.
put the show in the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do it.
Show at a Whole Foods.
I got all the answers.
That sounds fun. Switching gears, I wanted to tell you about an incident that I was involved in this week.
What sounds like?
I've been
sounds like a police report.
I do my best to behave myself and be a good neighbor and a good citizen, but I had a bit of a road rage incident. Well, the irony is it wasn't road rage. All right. What got me in trouble was just simply yelling, do better. That's why I didn't honk. I didn't cuss. I didn't shoot any birds. I simply yelled, do better.
Wait, is shooting birds a road rage reaction?
I flip people off sometimes. I didn't spit any
movies. Oh, I straight up was like, who shot birds?
You know, fucking fling a bird at somebody.
Yeah, I did not pick that one up.
I've been known to spit a loogie on people's car, but I'm getting older. I feel like I've mellowed out. I'm a married man now. I'm domesticated. I can't be out rebel rousing, starting trouble. So I actually thought I was doing pretty well by simply shouting, do better. And boy, I lit this guy's fire. So here's the situation. Can I what? You want me?
Well, I was going to say, what led to this? I want to know.
All right, so I'm in Burbank, and I'm on Glen Oaks Boulevard, and I'm waiting, and there's a guy in front of me in a full-size Chevrolet truck, and it's three lanes, and I'm in the far right lane.
What got you out
lane.
To Burbank, Dave?
What did get me out to Burbank? Christmas shopping. I was doing a little Christmas shopping.
Okay.
I went up to Burbank Mall and picked up a few things. But so anyway, three lanes. I'm in the far right lane, and we're in Glen Oaks Boulevard at a red light, and I'm waiting to turn right onto Sonora, a little side street. And there's a truck in front of me, and there's no and he didn't have his blinker on, so I'm like, well, I just felt like he was about to turn right, but he just refused to turn right on red. And I'm like, and granted, he didn't have his blinker on, so I was like, maybe he's going to go straight. But there was nobody. Okay. It was just one of those ghost town red lights. There was nobody anywhere. And I'm like, if this motherfucker made me sit here for 30 seconds and he himself is going to turn right, but he didn't have the fucking wherewithal of the balls to turn right on red. So finally the light turns green, and sure enough, he turns right. So that's strike one. And I bit my tongue on that one. Now we're traveling west on Sonora for a block or two, and just out of nowhere, no turn signal, a quick, abrupt right-hand turn with no signal. So he didn't turn right on red for 30 seconds when there was nobody coming, and then he turns abruptly without signaling. So did I yell, fuck your mother? Did I spit a loogie? I didn't do anything. My window was down. When I drove past him, I simply yelled, do better. A pretty hearty register, you know? And I don't think anything of it, because I seen him. He made a full right-hand turn onto this other side street. So I go a couple blocks, and I turn right into the bank. And I'm going to go do a little banking. So I pull in the bank, and I get out, and I pop out, and there he is, right behind me, blocking me in. And it's, like I said, full-size Chevy truck. It's if I had to guess, he was an Armenian fella. You know, it's Burbank, right there on the Burbank-Glendale border. And he's about my age, probably mid-40s, maybe a little older. And he goes, "You say something?" And I go, "Yeah." I said, "Do better." I said, "Because you didn't turn right on red, and you turned without signaling." And he goes, "You say something?" And I go, "Again." I said, "Yeah, yeah, I said something. I said, I love that move. What'd you say? I tell you what I said. What'd you say? I tell you what I said." Then we repeat this for three or four more times. About four times. "You say something?" "Yeah, man. I said do better." And then
he didn't understand English.
And then he goes, "Well, I think enough," because he goes, "Why is it your job to tell me to do better?" He's just saying something like, "Why is it your job?" I go, "It's my job because I'm a fellow motorist and you're driving like an idiot." And he says, "Why is it your job?" And then finally he goes, "How about I kick your ass?" And I go, "Look, man, you," and by the way, I acknowledge I borrowed this from you. Beautiful line. He goes, "How about I kick your ass?" And I go, "Look, man, you kicking my ass ain't going to make you any less stupid." And then he goes, "Huh?" And I go, "Exactly." And I said, "Fucking do better." And I turned and walked into the bank. And I thought, and he was heated. And I was like, he's probably going to be waiting on me when I come out. And he wasn't. But I was just like, I love that move. That's happened to me so many times. "What'd you say?" And I tell you what I said. But that, and then also like, "You want to fight?" "No, I don't want to fight. I said my piece. You drove like a fucking idiot. I said my piece. Now, if you want to fight me, step up. I'll stand here and defend myself. But no, I'm not interested in fighting you because you drove like a fucking idiot. I got it off my chest. I yelled my thing. So if there's a fight to be fought, you're going to have to initiate that, dumbass." You know? But I've had that so many times where, like, "Let me get this straight." Like, when you explain it back to him, "Let me get this straight. You drove like an asshole. Now you want to fight me. You want to risk either going to jail or getting an ass kicking because you drove like a fucking dickhead. I'm the problem." Oh, and when I turned around and left, he got the last word in by going, "You're stupid." I was like, I just waved at him. All right.
Yeah.
I thought I did pretty good. I didn't cuss. I was just like, "Do better." But that must, and I don't know what his maneuver was, but he fully turned right abruptly. He must have, like, then put it in reverse and followed me into the bank.
"Do better" is funny because it's not an insult.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
It's a request.
Mm-hmm. Just from one driver to another, here's a suggestion. And I'm not wrong. Hey, you know, and I get it. Like, I'm not traffic cop. I can't be out here just critiquing every single thing. But like, okay, so we sat there for 30 seconds unnecessarily before you decided to turn right. And then a block later, I almost rear-end you because you turned without signaling. Now, you don't deserve to die. You don't deserve to get in a fight. You don't deserve to have your wife or your mother insulted. But maybe you do need to hear from a stranger, "Do better." But boy, he was heated. He was hot. And I just said, "Look, man, you kicking my ass ain't going to make you any less stupid." Huh?
I mean, they seem like non-event road rage type of things.
Yeah. But yeah, I pushed his button, but like, and I didn't backpedal.
Yeah, I don't yell at people in LA anymore.
Yeah. The irony is I sincerely thought I was doing better, but like that is something I do have to work on. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. And I don't lash out and yell at every single person, but like, I don't know if I'm getting older and crankier, but the average driver in LA is an absolute moron. Like every green light's a 5 Mississippi. It's green. We better wait 5 seconds just to make sure. And it's never that. It's never because I'm being cautious. It's because my head's
in
my fucking phone.
There's nothing more dangerous than somebody in a Prius late for an audition.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's
somebody
insane.
With unbridled acceleration, and their dreams are on the line. But yeah, L.A. There's a few places where I have to prepare myself to drive with a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. Sacramento. Anytime I'm making the trek from here down there, Sacramento.
Really?
That's mayhem. Even if I'm just on the highway passing through, it's unbridled lunacy. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to just be cool. Make the conscious getting to L.A., make the choice to be cool. It's mm-hmm. going to suck.
Yeah.
Here's Oregon, notoriously, there's a comedian named Dylan Jenkins that has a very funny joke about, because, you know, like people say that people from Portland don't have an accent. He's like, we don't really have an accent, but we definitely drive with a slow Southern drawl. For real. Every four-way stop is just like, no, I do believe you should go ahead. Well, after you, ma'am. I certainly could not. I insist that you go. Like, and it's a Portlandia sketch, and it couldn't be more true of like, well, it's a little drizzly. I should do 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. That's already only 55 on the highway. And I'm just like, I drive like a maniac, and part of me is also like, well, they defunded the police anyway. I'm not getting a ticket. Mm-hmm. That's a knock on wood after saying that. But you're a little hothead and behind the wheel.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'll take part of the blame. But
you are a staunch supporter of the regulations of the roadway.
Well,
so Glendale, Burbank, bad place for you to be.
Yeah. And I try not to be a Nazi about it, but it's like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're out here
How close were you following this guy?
I don't
that you
follow
almost
too
hit
close.
Him when he
no,
made the right turn.
But I did have to, because he turned quick. Like, and I'm aware of that law. That was tattooed into our brain when I was a cop. Like, no matter what the scenario, I don't know what the laws are now, but in Georgia state law, no matter what the scenario, if you rear end somebody, you're at fault.
I had
you have to travel at a distance safe enough to where you can react to any maneuver in front of you.
I laughed to myself the other day because I read a story that was like, oh, somebody off the in Angeles Crest, their car went 300 feet down a hill. The couple survived.
Jesus.
But yeah, they survived, and then their account was like, oh, there was just a white Mercedes behind us honking and flashing their brights, so we
Shocking.
Tried to pull over and hit some gravel. I'm like, white Mercedes, says it all.
Yep.
Say no more. Yeah. Say no more. Turn signals optional. White mm-hmm. Mercedes.
Yep.
Replace it for white BMW if need be. It's not just white. That's a specific color of white that comes on those cards. It's called bitch white. That's the specific shade of white. It's not eggshell. It's bitch white. Turn signal optional. Anyway, Dave, let's not just be two middle-aged guys complaining about the rules of the road and how some people refuse to adhere to them. That's not fun for anybody.
No.
It's Christmas time, Dave.
It is.
It's holiday times for everybody. As everyone is welcome at the Boogie Monster. I'll tell you what I did. We went and saw our new favorite act in Portland, Mitch and the Melody Makers. Boy, howdy. If you live in the Portland area, go see Mitch and the Melody Makers. He just does 60s covers. It's a live band. They put on a hell of a show. We've seen them three or four times. We get down and boogie. Yeah, that's what we did.
You get out there
skipped,
and boogie?
I skipped Patterson Hood. I didn't go to see Patterson Hood this weekend.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Nope, went dancing.
Okay.
Went dancing at Mitch and the Melody Makers.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as I love Patterson Hood, especially his solo stuff, not a lot of dancing involved. So
no.
If you were looking to dance, you made the right choice.
No, we went out dancing, holiday dancing. I'm gearing up. We got to get stuff done around the house before I go back to the greater Chicagoland area to ring in. Well, not ringing in. I'm back here for New Year's. But to go do Christmases stuff.
So yeah, what are your plans? So Christmas in Chicago this year?
Just going back there, kicking it with the old gang.
Okay.
Haunting around the burbs.
Rachel coming with you?
Nah, she's staying here. Her she's brother's in here. Town. So
okay. Right
she's
on,
sticking
man.
Around here. But yeah, it's every year Christmas sneaks up on me. I'm like, mm-hmm. shit, it's in a few days, Dave.
Yeah, we're less than a week away.
Did you get all your gifts? You get all your shopping done?
No, I still got a few for Katie. Yeah, so she's so hard to shop for because we both have everything that we could ever want.
That's yeah. When you live your life successfully, you just get what you want, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't speak too loud. I think she's in the other room, but yeah, I got some ideas. I've got a few things already. So yeah,
I'll whisper too, even though that doesn't matter.
But yeah, we're just gonna we're doing a real low key one, not to bring it down. But you know, if you remember last Christmas, her dad died on Christmas. Literally 30 seconds after we finished opening presents, we get the phone call. So, you know, it's we're playing it by ear. And but she's doing great. You know, she's in good spirits. Yeah. But, you know, still, like, I expect there to be a little emotional turbulence this week. And that's fine. But so far, so good. We're hanging out, been watching Christmas movies. Just going to keep it low-key for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm cooking side dishes. We're having a little Christmas Eve celebration. We're inviting our two neighbors, the same neighbors that came over for Thanksgiving. Just a real sweet, older, platonic couple, Mark and Virgie. Just eyes and ears of the building, eyes and ears of the neighborhood. just really sweet, good-hearted folks. So we had a good time hanging out with them on Thanksgiving and knowing that they all their families are back on the East Coast and stuff. So it's just like, hey, why don't you come over, have a little Christmas Eve action. I'm doing all the sides, but I'm outsourcing a Bledsoe's smoked ham. I ordered a nice ham. Yeah. Going to go pick that up Christmas Eve day. I'm going to make a little broccoli cheese casserole, maybe a little hash brown casserole, maybe some mashed sweet potatoes, and just have a nice little Christmas
Smoked
Eve.
Smoked ham.
Yeah, which is a little redundant because most, like, there are uncured, unsmoked hams, but most ham is smoked, but this is like homemade. Yeah, most ham is smoked. Where you think it gets that smoky flavor, you know? Or else you just got a
I just know ham flavor.
Pork shank, yeah. Well, that ham comes from that smoke. It's cured and smoked, but yeah, Bledsoe's they're doing their own, just big, throwing them in the smoker, got their own little honey glazed action. They had a little video on their Instagram. Oh boy, I was getting quite aroused. So it's like let's go that route. So yeah, go pick up a ham, make some side dishes, watch a little Christmas movies, and then Christmas Day we may not even get out of the pajamas. May just hang out, eat leftovers, and watch some movies.
That's of course what you should do. What are we doing with Christmas movies? What do we got happen?
Well, let's see. My favorites. I think we got to watch Christmas Vacation. I think that's a must. I definitely think that's a must. There's so many good ones. I think probably top of the list is going to be
The story of a family. Dude, I can't. Why did I walk right into this, Dave? How did I walk right into this shit?
It's a classic.
Fucking, it's podunk, potato in the ass bullshit.
Hold on. Where's the good part? Let me skip ahead a little bit. This is one of the pivotal scenes here. Kind of
There's
starts
no
the whole thing.
Would they make one turnip
Merry
blast for
Christmas, Cloudy? How are you boys and girls, Mrs. Walter? Well, they're just fine. When y'all coming over to see us? Maybe we'll come over tomorrow and see what Santa Claus brings to us.
You're welcome to come, but Santa Claus isn't bringing much.
Have your boys and girls been bad?
No, but Santa Claus is poor this year.
Santa Claus is poor this year. It's the Great Depression in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
This is less interesting than your road rage story, dude.
Definitely going to be watching.
I could smell the burlap from here.
Definitely going to be watching a screening of the Waltons Christmas movie. Hold on, let me play one more scene. This is where Mama Walton gets upset with Claudy, the local black fella who has taken up employment with the Baldwin ladies.
Everybody else.
Let's see here.
Was that the black guy?
Yeah.
Anything, the way that child is growing.
Oh, I don't know what they're growing on. Son?
Preaching's a hard line of work, even in the best
Dad
of
got a new job.
Daddy's got an extra job now.
Uh-oh.
How in the world do you find extra work around?
I think we do this, I think we do this every year, and I care less every year.
Uh-huh.
What? Hold on.
I'm surprised at you, Hawthorne.
She's surprised at Hawthorne.
Now.
Man's got to eat.
You know, a man has got to eat.
So he's working for the Baldwin sisters, and they sell bootleg whiskey. They call it the recipe. And, you know, Mama Walton, she won't have – she got young children in this house. She can't have bootleg whiskey in this house. So John Boy's, you know, to set it up, Dad is working – it's the Great Depression, so there's no work to be had on Walton's Mountain. So he's way over 60 miles away in the next big city working, and he had to work Christmas Eve day, but all the roads are snowed over, and he's supposed to take a bus, but ain't no buses getting through Walton's Mountain. So he's hitchhiking 60 miles on Christmas Eve, and will he get there? We don't know. You'll have to watch the movie and find out. So that's going to be top of the list. So yeah, Christmas Vacation, Walton's Christmas movie, The Homecoming. I finally
do you make Katie watch that shit too?
She refuses.
Or does she have enough sense?
She refuses. I'll just be watching it by
her.
Myself. Maybe Mark Good and Virgie her. Will watch it with me.
But, you watch it by yourself. You sit there by yourself and you're this is good. I like this.
It's fun. It's a good wholesome movie. He's going to go find his daddy.
What drugs and drink are you on while you do this?
Oh,
all of them?
Then do a little bourbon. Probably do a little bourbon, a little of that jazz lettuce. Who knows?
And you stay awake through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a captivating tale. Yeah. Goes out and finds his daddy, meets up with the Baldwin sisters, meets up with Hawthorne. There's open sleigh rides. There's a church play, Christmas Eve church play. It's a good time. We've got Grandma and Grandpa.
Where's this
playing?
What?
Applesauce
cake.
Is
this playing on One America News Network right now? Where is this playing?
It's on YouTube. I think it's also on one of the Paramount or Peacock. Somebody told me it was on one of the new streaming services.
What Christian nationalist station is this on?
The Waltons Christmas Movie, The Homecoming. If you just put that into the old YouTube. Hour and 38 minutes.
They did a remake. Did you see the remake?
You watch your mouth.
5 stars. Out of 10.
Remake. They don't need to be remaking this. It's a masterpiece.
Oh, this is where you're going to take a stand?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, a whole lot of... This cast is a real who's that of actors.
Yeah, Patricia Neal. Is it Neal or O'Neal? Patricia Neal. She was big back in the day. Whoever really? That goober that plays John Boy is. What's his name? Thomas? Somebody Thomas?
Let's go ahead and look up. Waltons.
Look at some of the comments. The tough but very good old days. I miss them. Blessings all who read this. Be kind, be healthy, be happy, be loved, and be loving. See? It brings people together.
It's not bringing me together with you. I fucking hate this shit. Push me further apart every year. You bring this dog shit up.
It's been 4 decades ago, and I still love watching the Waltons. I'm 34 years old. I didn't grow up with this, but my mom did. Made me bawl all the way through. Wish times were still like this. Obviously not the Depression, but the people, family, hardworking, the respect, appreciation with so little.
Oh, God. Everybody, every single review is from a QAnon account. Absolutely. It's 100% overlap of QAnon supporters and people going online to review a 40-year-old Christmas special from these yokels.
I love it, man. You know you like it. I got some real quick.
I've never even seen it.
Exactly. See, that's how closed off you are. It's just, Kyle, you got to spread your wings and fly, buddy. All right. Here at the Boogie Monster, we feel that home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system. I'm talking, of course, about SimpliSafe. 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 Right now, SimpliSafe is offering Boogie Monster listeners 40% off a new security system. How about that? But don't put this off. Here's why I love it. It's easy to use. All right, you download the app. They walk you through every step. Took me about 30 minutes. Secondly, like I already said, it's the number one rated home security system. Why wouldn't I like that? I got my wife here. I got my pets. I got my records. I need to know that when I'm out farting around all different parts of the country, telling my stupid jokes, that SimpliSafe has got my back and my family's back. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real so you can get priority police response. SimpliSafe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, every window, every door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs under a dollar a day, less than half the price of ADT's traditional and professionally installed system. With a top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, adjust the system settings, whatever you need to do. Don't miss your chance for massive savings on my favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplisafe.com/boogie. That's simplisafe.com/boogie. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. I got some weird Christmas facts for you.
Let's do that. Let's get as far away from.
Did you know that December 25th was originally a pagan celebration? Nobody knows.
Yes.
Nobody knows exactly when Jesus of Nazareth was born. Nobody celebrated his birthday for hundreds of years, but December 25th was co-opted from pagan rites connected with the winter solstice. How about that? This is crazy. The mistletoe, kissing under the mistletoe, mm-hmm. It was originally had to do with fertility rites. The hanging sprig is a very ancient symbol of virility, and therefore anybody standing beneath it is signaling that he or she is sexually available. There you go.
That's weird.
Santa Claus originated in a newspaper ad. Far from being a quaint medieval legend, Santa Claus first appeared as a recognizable entity in a newspaper ad for gift books in the mid-19th century. Oh, that reminds me. I did watch a documentary the other day called Santa Camp. And by the way...
Tell me, Santa Camp. It's just like Jesus Camp, where they're being indoctrinated into the ways of Christmas.
They teach you how to be a Santa. It's all these old chubby white bearded dudes, and it's up in I think New Hampshire, and but one of the running storylines was they're a whole organization, and it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a union for Santa Clauses, but they're trying to get more diversity in the Santa Claus community.
Okay.
And I totally understand that. You know, if I was...
Maybe New Hampshire isn't the place to start.
Exactly. But they interviewed this one poor dude, this black fella who lived in Arkansas, and he put up an inflatable black Santa Claus and got, like, mean letters in his mailbox. First of all, like, who gives a shit on both sides? Like, I get one argument of, like, well, Santa Claus is based off... I had it written down. It's based off some old goober who was white. So like I get that, like, okay, first of all, it's a fictional thing, so if anybody's like hard, I get representation, I totally get that, like if I was a little black kid, I might want to go sit on a black Santa's lap, you know, but mm-hmm. also it's like, okay, well, Santa Claus is white because he's based off of this old Saint somebody, but I also
Saint Nicholas,
I get the whole, no, it was another name other than Nicholas, but I also get, I totally get the black perspective of, like, we need representation. So, like, who gives a shit if you do have a black Santa Claus? I can't imagine.
You said the word Arkansas in that sentence?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe you spoke in the answer you seek.
A threatening, mean letter was put in this fella's mailbox because he had a black inflatable Santa Claus on his lawn.
Again, I believe you said the word Arkansas.
Yeah, that's probably the...
That guy was going to get mean letters about something.
Yeah. But this is also, I couldn't help but think about this while watching Santa Camp. And, it, you know, it's a nice little heartwarming documentary. They also have, there's ladies up at the camp, you know, learning to be a better Santa or Mrs. Claus. I think they were talking about how they
Chick
would,
Santa, no way.
They would like more elves, but they felt weird placing an ad in the paper looking for dwarves or little people. But my thing is, I mean, they had like dozens and dozens of old white dudes.
Little person Santa, full-size elves.
Yeah.
Fucking flip it.
God, that'd be funny.
Really mess with people.
But what are the
midget
percentage?
Black Santa, full-size Chinese elves.
At the, let's say hypothetically, there's 100 Santas at this Santa camp, right? All white men, north of 50 years old, north of 250 pounds. Let's say out of 100,
pole of 250 pounds.
How many of those are pedophiles? There's got to be a couple creeps, right?
Yeah, there should definitely be a vetting process.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be. It's
for
gotta,
anybody.
It's got to track
who
some
wants
creeps.
To do that.
Mm-hmm. That's my only concern. Christmas, only recently was Christmas, or has Christmas been a family holiday. Christmas was originally celebrated as an adult form of trick-or-treat, but with the treat consisting of booze and the threatened trick consisting of bodily harm or destruction of property.
Wait, what?
It was like an adult version of trick-or-treat. Because, oh, and I had this written somewhere.
What? Give me booze or I'll...
Yeah.
Beat you up.
Mm-hmm. Because what's the song, the one that they keep talking about, Figgy Pudding? We wish you a Merry Christmas. There's a line in there that says, we won't leave until we get some. And it was peasants and workers were demanding booze from their bosses on Christmas.
Oh.
Like, hey, we work hard all year. We want some fucking booze. We won't leave until we get some.
Gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like what's going on there.
Christmas as a day off is also a recent innovation. As late as 1850, December 25th was not a legal holiday, at least in New England. Stores were open, businesses were open, children were expected to attend school if the 25th fell on a weekday. That's kind of bizarre. The Christmas tree was also kind of a recent thing by the aristocrats to try to get away from the boozy origins of Christmas. You know, where they wanted to make it less about demands for booze and more about a majestic family holiday, thus the symbol being the Christmas tree.
What? I mean, I know all these holidays. It's like, yeah, these were pagan holidays, so Christians like went and put these holidays on top of them to kind of take the wind out of their sails. Did you ever, you grew up, what was your denomination?
Southern Baptist.
So what was your,
boy.
What kind of Christmas stuff did you have going on?
I mean, it was all like religious based, you know, the nativity.
But I mean, did you do like Christmas morning? Did you do midnight mass?
No, we never did a midnight mass. I guess that's more of a Catholic thing. We did just Christmas morning. Like, Christmas Eve was always the Waffle House. And then Christmas Christmas morning was gifts, and then we'd go over to my grandma's house. We'd have our own personal immediate family Christmas at, like, 7 a.m., and then by about 10 a.m., we'd have to be over at Mema's house to do the extended family version.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just chaos. There was no order to
Memo's.
It. Like, with the immediate family, we all went one at a time, you know, opening gifts. But at Memo's, it was just a carnage. It was just a free-for-all.
That was, yeah, we do like the one at a time kind of thing because mm-hmm. then each person gets to, but it's like I always, it's so much pressure.
Because mm-hmm.
then you have to react to each one.
Yeah.
And then the person, like, it's, oh my God, the chaos, like it was always thought because when we go see the cousins and it had to be like, well, we're only going to, every year they tried to fine tune how to do gifts for like the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, $20 limit, everybody picks a name out of a hat. Okay, $5 limit, gift for everybody. Okay, mm-hmm. well, okay, no, Secret Santa, like stop fucking around with it. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Relax.
Like, what's your best Christmas memory as a kid? Either best gift or just best overall hang? Like, do you have any that stick out?
There was, when we were little, it traded off. We'd have Christmas Eve was with my mom's side, and Christmas Day was with my dad's side.
Okay.
And on my dad's side, it would either be at my grandmother and grandfather's house, or it'd be at my Aunt Betty and Uncle Johnny's. And if we go to Aunt Betty and Uncle Johnny's, they had like a finished basement with a bar, and I feel like everybody was like way more drunk over there. They were like, I thought old style, like I thought old people just smelled like that, like old style beer. But it was like the spirit of Christmas, like where it's like, oh, everybody was just like very just, I mean, probably drunk, but like I just remember it being the most fun because like my cousins were similar in age, and then that side of the family we had other cousins, like second cousins similar in age, and it was just a festive time. They had a pool table and they had a fun box full of Hot Wheels cars, and we'd bring our toys over there, and I just remember it being like an exciting time. Like you meet up with your cousins, see what they got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I only had two cousins.
In the toy era of that, you know.
I had two cousins, and there was no booze. That's one thing. I was talking about this with Katie recently. Like, nobody in my immediate or extended family drank openly. It was later determined that my grandfather and one of my aunts, they would booze it up together in the basement on the down low.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Even as a kid, I think it would have been fun to have a couple of drunk uncles hanging out and saying inappropriate things. I don't know. I missed out on all that.
Well, that's why midnight mass was also a thing. Because, like, all right, hey, like some people don't do a Christmas Eve, but my family, we would still have a big Christmas Eve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a while, it was like you have to go to midnight mass. So this, imagine, like you're a kid, ugh, you did some Christmas presents. You didn't do Christmas morning. You didn't do Santa presents, but you did some family presents. You had a big meal. You had dessert. Now, the next morning's Christmas, you're psyched. You want to go at midnight. We're going to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Or then when you got older, you're just drunk.
Yeah.
Drunk at church.
Ugh.
Which the only options were getting like the worst looks from my mom, or we were all asleep. And we were not the only family. That's like everybody in that church. You could tell which member wanted to be there, and the rest of the family just passed out in the pew or being ridiculous because they're drunk. So it was kind of fun, like in a rascal sort of way. But Christmas, it's always a big deal around the house, or it was. There's not too many little kids around anymore. So we'll see. We're going to go hang out, you know.
Yeah, that'll be fun, man.
See, it's been a couple years because I convinced my mom and dad. We all went to Hawaii last year, and then the year before was pandemic. So it's been like 3 years since I've seen some people.
Hmm.
So it's going to be that.
God, I haven't seen some of my family in a decade.
Really?
Yeah, it's like I take the blame on that. It's a lot of that's just me. Not
out
caring.
Of state. You grew up with like it was a generation older than you that was your folks' family more than. But then I do feel like, oh, maybe, you know, it's kind of the job of the younger generation is get in there and check in on some of those folks. And I admittedly don't do that either. So,
yeah. I got one more weird Christmas tradition to share with you. I don't know where Catalonia is. I have no idea.
Spain?
That sounds like it could be in Spain. They have a weird tradition in Catalonia called Caga Trio or Cagatillo.
Oh, buddy.
You know about the defecating log?
Yes.
Locals in Catalonia create a character out of a log, drawing a face on it, giving it a hat, other accoutrements. I got one sitting right by me. Then they spend a fortnight, quote, feeding it fruits and nuts and sweets, and by feeding, I mean defecating on it. On Christmas Eve, the entire family beats the log with sticks and sings a traditional song that translates into, if you don't crap well, I'll beat you with a stick until the log excretes all its treats.
Yes.
Hard to comprehend why this tradition hasn't caught on elsewhere. They also decorate their nativity scenes with small pooping ceramic figurines, usually well-known characters, often drawn from that year's news. The figurines always have their pants around their ankles.
I am sending you a picture of one right now.
This sounds like a good time. We may have to implement this into the Stone Strandberg.
Cagatillo.
Let's beat the stick and then shit on it. Or beat this log.
There's a song that goes with it, Dave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There we go. I'm going to get you this little guy. There you go. That's mine. That's my cagatillo that I have.
Uh-huh.
We did a trip over there around Christmas time. Catalonia is like a region of Spain that happens to include Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
We're in Barcelona. We're there around Christmas time. We're looking at like this market in front of this open air market. We're walking around. Every single stall had these little guys taking shits with their butts hanging out, and we couldn't get enough of it.
Little guys, like real people.
I just sent you the picture.
Oh, okay. Let me see what we got here.
It's a little tiny statue. Are you looking at it?
Yeah.
There's a little guy taking a dump.
There he is.
He's sitting there squatting, taking a shit with a little fun hat on.
What the hell?
You know how you travel, like everything's homogenized now. Like even no matter where you travel, even a gift that you see there is like that's something somebody could just buy on eBay or something. Like there's nothing unique. We saw these. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the gifts everybody's getting. They'll have They make statues of everybody. You want Darth Vader taking a shit? You got Darth Vader taking a shit.
Wow.
You want Obama taking a shit? You got it. Betty Boop. Who cares? Papa Smurf. Everybody's taking a shit.
Betty Boop.
And that's we just bought all these.
Oh, my God.
The song, Pooping Log, Cagatillo. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll play it now. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's see if the festive... Oh, no, this is with Nora Jones and Anthony Bourdain. They knew about it. I don't want this hipster shit. I want some OG action. Here we go.
Oh,
ready?
Oh, my God. Cagatillo.
No. Okay. Now, the words were, we fed Cagatillo and made him fat. Now we hit him and see what presents he shat. So it's a log. They just have a piece of wood in their house.
Uh-huh.
But with a Santa hat and a face painted on the part where it's cut off.
But how does
like
the log
Thomas,
shit?
The tank engine. Buddy, 6 years we've been talking about Bigfoot. Suspend your disbelief for a second.
That's true.
All right. Now we hit him and see what presents he shat. So now they've okay. Now this person got climbing shoes. I don't know how they came out of the log. She opened like there's a sheet over the log, and the face is looking in the camera of the log, and she just looked under the back of the blanket. She got climbing shoes. Oh, she's looking again. A drone. Just what Derek wanted, a new drone. It's, Oh, God, no. She's opening the fireplace. Into the fire he goes. Oh, my God, this is brutal. Bon Nadal. They just burnt him. They burnt my boy.
Oh, man.
He shit out climbing shoes and got Derek a drone, and then you just put him right in the fire.
I think we're gonna have our own little cagatillo. I'm gonna have Katie beat me with a baseball bat. And see what happens.
This, as far as traditions that like what the fuck, and mm-hmm. also awesome. Yes, I'm surprised I forgot about this one, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
There you go. Cagatillo. Wow. One last
the
thing.
Shit log. Yeah.
I didn't know this. In Japan, one of the big Christmas dinners is KFC.
What do they got? What do they got? An octopus that fucks you to death over there? What is their tradition?
Kentucky Fried Chicken in the last 40 years has become quite the tradition in Japan due to clever marketing back in the day, and also the fact that most Japanese homes have very tiny ovens. KFC marketed towards the Japanese folks and said, hey, you want some good traditional American holiday cuisine? Here you go. You got to order that shit 2 months in advance. Could you imagine placing an advanced order for Kentucky fucking chicken? Ugh. I'd rather eat a Cagatillo.
Maybe they do it different over there.
Maybe.
You do see KFC, at least when I was in Korea and China, like they had it everywhere. Mm. And I always wonder, like, I mean, obviously chicken's good, but I also wondered if it was like chickens easier because it's less space to raise chickens.
Maybe.
I wondered why, like, but I didn't, maybe it was just marketing. They just got it in there and people love it, you know?
Hmm. Who knows?
Cagatillo.
I got a musical recommendation this week. Shout out to my buddy Jacob Rupert, Atlanta buddy, who's from all accounts is kicking cancer's ass. Jacob's he got cancer, but he's doing well. He seems to be doing well. And anyway, he turned me on to Garrett T. Capps, right in my wheelhouse. Unfamiliar with Garrett T. Capps until this week. Just right in my wheelhouse. Kind of like cosmic psychedelic alt country. And new album's called People Are Beautiful. It's very positive. All the lyrics are very positive. It's just got and sonically it's just beautiful. And I'm surprised I didn't know about this dude. Apparently he's got a few albums out, but apparently he's from San Antonio, and I think he owns a bar there, and he just plays at his own bar like five nights a week. And really good shit. Garrett T. Capps, People Are Beautiful. Every song's a banger. I've had it on repeat for about a week now. It was what I was listening to driving the back roads of West Texas and New Mexico and Colorado, and boy, it just really hit the spot. So wanted to pass that recommendation along. Also, as this comes out, today is my mom's birthday, Nancy Stone, 73 years old. 73 years old today. Paralyzed at 21. Was told that she would never have kids and she'd probably be dead by 49. Two kids, and 73 years later, she's kicking ass. So, happy
Instead
birthday.
Just made her faster.
Yep, happy birthday, Mom. So,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's doing good. Check in with Mom every now and then. Every now and then. We talk twice a week. And, yeah, she's in good spirits. 73 years old today. Happy birthday, Mom.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Stone.
Yeah, she's won't be hanging with her Christmas this year due to some unresolved family issues, but that's neither here nor there. But next year, I think we're going to have her out here. Going to put her on a plane, bring her to L.A., have a little L.A. Christmas with Nancy next year. So then looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Well, nice, buddy. Well, good that's times. Good.
Yeah, buddy. Well, you have fun. Safe travels. Tell Pat and Deb I said hello.
Oh, P&D. Yeah, Pat just clicked over 76 a couple weeks ago.
Way to go.
Clicking over 46 in a couple days here.
Yeah, look at. Oh, right. Birthday boy coming up on the 23rd.
It.
Hell yeah,
December
buddy.
December birthdays, man. So we're throwing down, baby.
Well, happy birthday, man.
It's gonna be an easy one.
Good man. Good.
Well, hey, happy holidays. I hope your smoked Bledsoe's ham and sides are everything you want your Cagatillo to bring you. Everything you hope. I hope you get everything Cagatillo shits out for.
Yeah, yeah. There's no telling what we're in store for. So it's very exciting. But yeah, we're gonna take a couple of weeks off, so we won't talk to you the boogers till early January. We're going to take 2 weeks off, I think. So we'll see you in about 3 weeks. So, yeah, man. Well, happy holidays, buddy.
Happy holidays, man. See you in 2023.
Yeah, we'll see you next year, dude.
Come on, gay.
All right. Talk to y'all later. Peace. Have a good one.
Study home?
Not yet. Who was that let you off down at the gate?
It was Miss Mamie and Miss Emily Baldwin. They give me a ride home in their pappy's sleigh.
We thought it was Santa Claus.
What am I gonna do with you, boy? I send you looking for your daddy, and you end up joyriding with two old lady bootleggers.
I wasn't joyriding, Mama. Well, they took me to look for daddy. We got right far, but there's a tree down in the road stopped us dead.
What's that you got in your hand?
It's a present, Mama, from Miss Mamie and Miss Emily.
Bootleg whiskey. Don't those crazy old women know I don't allow whiskey in this house? I've got young children in this house. What sort of example do they think we set here? You take it out yonder and pour it on the ground.
Mama. It's not whiskey, Mama. It's eggnog.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.